Welcome to Animateez, a retro anime review comedy podcast. Join our resident anime nerd Mackenzie and anime noob Lindsay as they delve into their VHS vault and review the best and worst of what the 80s and 90s had to offer. These episodes contain spoilers and adult language, so stick around if you're cool like that.
Baby, am I excited about today, Lindsay?
No, I'm so nervous. I'm just like, tell me what it is already.
Because not only is it another episode of Animateez that I get to host, it also happens to be the season of fooling.
Oh,
April
no.
Fools, if you will, which means today is the day I test our friendship.
Yep, that you are.
Look, this could have been so much worse.
I'll be the judge of that. No, I won't, but...
The original list of shows I was going to have you watch was bad. Like, I am talking levels of crap that have been unseen, stupid, insane, ecchi premises that I actually feared making you watch some would have actually ruined our friendship. So I toned it down.
So this is you toning it down.
Now, I did leave in one incredibly insane option. But trust me when I say this could have been a much worse nightmare.
Oh, man. I'm just like, tell me what it is already. I just want to know. Put me out of my... Well, I'm going to say put me out of my misery, but...
I'm about to put you into your misery.
Yeah, let's get this over with.
I didn't want to be entirely at fault for what you're watching today.
Okay.
So we're going to play a little game.
Oh, no.
I need you to go grab a D6 dice.
Oh my gosh, look at that. Oh no. We're gonna go for those ones because they've been good to me.
Do you have your dice?
I have my dice.
All right, so you will be rolling on a table to see which three series you'll be watching one episode from.
Three series? Oh my gosh.
It's only one episode though, so you're technically still watching the same amount of stuff.
I'm lied. I'm gonna use this dice because it was the first set of dice that I bought and you were with me. Don't fuck me.
I may or may not have looked at the lowest rated anime in history to get some of these things.
How dare you.
I should mention there is one more catch.
Oh no, what is this catch?
For every series you watch, even if you absolutely fucking hated it, I need you to give me a short paragraph on top of your usual breakdown and review, reviewing it as if you were giving it a 10 out of 10 rating.
How dare you?
No sass.
I'm sorry. Have you met me?
No sarcasm.
Again, have you met me?
A full-on 10 out of 10. This is why I think it's the greatest piece of media ever created review.
You're the worst.
I'm just seeing you on camera, just holding your hands in your face.
Oh, man. Oh, my gosh.
With that being said, can you please roll me your first D6 roll?
Here, I'll do it on the thing under the mic so you can, you know.
Yep.
One! No!
Oh, no!
What does it mean?
Much like a 1 on a natural, on a 20 roll.
Yeah, I
you
was
have just
be like,
pulled
oh,
our
no.
one critical fail of the episode.
Why did you do this to me?
You will be watching Kennel Tokorozawa.
I can't even write that down. What?
The story of a pet shop owner's daughter who spends every waking moment with her dog Rin Tin Tin.
That's a great name.
Who in turn looks after her. Unfortunately, this dog has a human internal monologue and is horny for its owner and fights off other potential human suitors so that he can be the one who clearly comes out on top. Now, thankfully, the girl does not feel the same way about the dog. It is not that kind of story. But there is... I'm so sorry you rolled a one. I was hoping... I needed to leave at least one thing on there because there is some crazy out-of-pocket shit that happens in this one. Please do not hate me when you watch this.
You're going to get so many texts.
Oh, I'm so excited. It's so...
And you've watched all these?
No!
I'm sorry, what?
I didn't watch any of these that I'm giving you today. But this one, I can't believe you rolled it as your first roll, is going to be a stressor that I think you're going to be very unhappy with. So that's
you're
exciting.
The worst.
Give me your second D20 or D6 roll.
I hate you.
No, you don't.
Oh, it was not on the dice, so it doesn't count. Okay, well, that's a one, so we're just going to watch it two times. My favorite number, 4.
Okay. Your second series will be a series called Twinkle Nora Rock Me. We
that's
follow
a cool name.
Nora Scholar, a bounty hunter with psychic powers.
Ooh.
This is the second OVA adaption of the manga, which thankfully has more than 2 frames per second, unlike the original. And that is not an over-exaggeration. The original was 2 frames per second.
Oh, no.
But I didn't give you that one because it was too long, so you're going to have to deal with the second one, which is also not great because it is rated below a 3.
Wow.
One person even called it the worst piece of media I've ever seen outside of shock videos online.
I mean, I went to film school. I saw some pieces of crap.
Fair. It's not good, I've been told. It's very poorly rated. The people are roasting it in the comments online.
Fabulous.
So that will be your second one, Twinkle Nora Rock Me. And for your third series, give me another D6 roll.
Okay, a 3.
Okay, you got off easy on this one.
Oh, good.
You will be watching Asobo, a.k.a. Hello Kitty and Friends.
Okay.
This is pretty straightforward. You're literally just going to be watching and reviewing an episode of Hello Kitty.
Oh, okay. I'm going to watch that one last because I feel like I'm going to need it after the first one.
I'm a little sad that you got off fairly easy.
I'm sorry. I rolled a critical fail on the first roll.
I know. But your other options were Panzer Dragoon, which is a sci-fi about a boy who forms an alliance with a blue dragon to save his lady from a black dragon before she becomes a catalyst for the end of the world, which also has a rating below 3. The fifth option was Garzy Wing, which has been called the room of anime.
Oh, that's a description.
Which is an isekai about a guy being brought to a world to become their like legendary warrior.
What is an isekai again?
You go to another world that's not like Earth, basically.
Okay.
You're transported there. And he's told he has to be a warrior, but all he has is a dull sword.
Aww.
Or Aim for the Ace. Now, I was really hoping you were going to get this one instead of Hello Kitty, because this show's actually really well rated.
Oh.
Even though its animation is something, it's actually quite iconic, even referenced in series like Urusei Yatsura.
But
the reason it was here was because you've mentioned how much you hate the idea of us watching sports anime.
I just don't care about sports.
It was going to be a 1973 animation about 15-year-olds playing tennis.
Oh my gosh, 73. Oh man.
So you may have loved it. Who knows? You'll never know. Instead, this week, you'll be watching Dog Love Kennel, Tokorozawa, Hello Kitty and Friends, and Twinkle Nora Rock Me.
Great. I'm so excited.
The look on your face tells me differently. Again,
I was like, well, time to go throw out those dice.
This could have been so much worse. But it also means that I can use these other series as an official episode at some point in the future.
I hate you. Oh my gosh.
So without further ado, it's time to take our dogs for a walk over to the television. Let's go watch some batshit crazy anime, and we'll be back in 10 seconds.
Or maybe we won't. Maybe the podcast will be over.
Oh man, I'm so worried. Anyways, bark bark everybody, be right back.
Stay tuned.
And we are back from making Lindsay's only day off this week be a little bit miserable for all of your enjoyment.
I hope it was worth it.
Yeah, Lindsay has now watched Kennel Tokorozawa, Hello Kitty, and Twinkle Nora Rock Me.
Oof.
How are you feeling after all of this, Lindsay? Are you having a rough day?
I'm going to punch you in the face. Yeah, those exist. Yeah, like 2/3 of them, I was like, fine. Can you guess which one just was the fucking worst?
Yeah, I'm gonna guess that you must have been a little annoyed with me, huh?
I'm gonna punch you.
You already said that. Look, remember to stay positive. We need to make sure that this is an episode that is entertaining to our listeners. I know it's hard since some of these shows feel like they came from the bark side of the moon.
Oh my
but
gosh.
But you really need to put in the effort here, okay? That's the end of my dog puns.
Good. I genuinely was like, who is this made for? Why does it exist? And what was the impetus for this whole thing? Like, why? Why did this get made? Why?
I was legit worried that Kennel might have pushed too far because you'd mentioned and, you know, I'm going to message you as I'm like watching this like you did with Aika. And then I didn't get anything. And the only message I got was, I'm not watching the post credits crap. I can't take any more of this.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, I don't need to watch a human woman get humped by a man in a dog costume for another 10 minutes.
Wait, what? I didn't watch it either because you said you weren't.
I know. I didn't. I watched like, I watched the first like 2 minutes of it. And it's the girl who voices Chica. And yeah. Oh my gosh. She's like, yeah, we've got like we've got a guest today too. And you'll never guess. It's Rin Tin Tin. Come on in, Rin Tin Tin. And he like walks in and it's like this human in a dog costume.
Oh,
and
it, I didn't know that.
He pisses on the wall and then humps her. And I was like, I can't.
Oh,
literally cannot.
The thing that I watched, because I skipped through real quick to see if what there was, I saw was the writer in a straitjacket being interviewed about why he made such a batshit insane show.
Oh, well, that, you know, seems about right.
Yeah, but I even messaged you because I was like, do we still have a podcast? And thankfully we do.
Yes, we do.
And this is my official promise to not give you kennel level trash for a while. Now, I'm not going to say that everything you're going to watch is good, but it's not going to be what fine. Kennel was.
Thank fuck. Holy moly. I will probably recommend that to people I hate.
Perfect.
Great.
Now, that being said, the damage has been done for the week, and I didn't leave you alone with this. I did watch the shows. I just don't have to be the one who has to give the 10 out of 10 rating for them later, which I'm sure you struggled with.
I genuinely don't know how I'm going to give it a 10 out of 10.
Oh, I thought you would have pre-wrote something out so that you could like have a...
Nope. I thought it'd be funnier if I just come off the dome with it. And
I'm so excited then.
And
today's selection is interesting because they are all wildly different.
They are all wildly different.
They actually ended up being connected a little bit because the voice of Chica from Kennel is also the voice of Hello Kitty's sister Mimi.
Oh, Mimi, I love her.
And then there is the voice actress of Hello Kitty herself that we had watched, Megumi Hayashibara, who as of the day of recording right now, it's actually her birthday.
Oh, well, happy birthday. I didn't actually hear what her name was.
Shout out to an incredibly iconic voice actress with a career spanning 29 years and some of the most iconic characters like Rei from Eva, Faye Valentine, Lena Inverse, Girl Ranma, and a bunch of Pokemon, including a favorite of mine, Bulbasaur.
Yeah, Bulbasaur. You love a Bulbasaur.
Ivysaur is my number one, but it's hard to get Ivysaur stuff. So I got a lot of Bulbasaur toys. But yeah, so while she celebrates her birthday, we shall celebrate your downfall jumping into talking about this week's series, starting with, let's do Twinkle Nora Rock Me.
Great, because that's the first one I have up, so we're good.
Perfect.
Great. Yeah, this one, I feel like it had a bigger budget, it actually wouldn't be awful. Like, it was kind of cool.
It had potential, you are correct. Yeah. But they squandered all of it on the intro music.
Oh, yeah.
And pretty much that's it.
Yeah, I think that's like, yeah, the music was what cost the most. And even still, it was probably not that much.
No, there's a literal YouTube comment that says the funniest thing is not even YouTube is taking this down for copyright because literally nobody wants to claim this disaster.
What a bird. And it's, I mean, accurate.
Yeah.
It's, and yeah. And it's like, it I don't know. It feels very like first year animation project, maybe.
Well, like, yeah. Well, because not... like I mentioned in the intro that it doesn't do like the 2 frames per second like the first one did, but it actually does at random intervals, like the first 5 minutes. And then like randomly in the middle of like an action sequence, all of a sudden they're like, we don't got any budget this week. And it goes to single frame animation. So,
oh man, yeah, it's something.
Now that intro song, I did mention it is a banger, but you know what it reminds me of? And you might not know this song. People at home might. And I played them side by side and I think it's pretty close. It's the Chipmunk Adventure, Boys and Girls of Rock and Roll, where it's the boy chipmunks and the girl chipmunks traveling around the world on a delivering stolen diamonds accidentally.
And, are they blood diamonds?
That's a dope movie. Shallows, watch it. But this song, when you kind of hear it at the beginning, you're like, oh, fuck yeah. It kind of gives you hope. It's going to be great.
It's kind of like Beyonce's country song and how it sounds like the Franklin theme song.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was just like half-assed and it very much was its downfall. Yeah. Do you want me to get into breaking this down and telling everybody all about it? Hell yeah. So we open on like some dude giving some sort of premonition about a girl who's coming to bring upon the end of the world, which immediately I was like, oh, goals. Which I'm a little bit like, does this premonition didn't really need to be here because nobody brings upon the end of the world in this. So I don't know.
No, it's not in any way relevant.
Yeah, but we start out with trash animation, rockin' intro song. It's great.
They repeat the intro song in the entire first sequence too.
But we open and there's like some baddie being chased by the police and he takes a girl who has like incredible eyelashes hostage. And Nora runs to intervene, but she's stopped by the chief. Because he's like, we have 100 men already on this. On this case, we don't need you. And I really, really badly wanted her to say, but like, may have 100 men, but you don't have one woman. And then like walks up and like kicks everybody's ass. But that doesn't happen.
The writing on this is not good enough for that.
No.
I've seen McDonald's menus written better.
You're not wrong. So the chief like literally just like palms her head like a basketball out of the way. And he walks over to the criminal and tells him to like knock it off.
That'll do it.
Yep. Oh. Good thing you're getting paid the big bucks so that you could, that's gonna do it. The criminal's like, fuck that, and runs away with this hostage girl. And we see Nora have like a glint in her eye, and all of a sudden this girl turns into like some sort of weird demon, and the baddie gets all like, and like throws her, and then he's able to like, they're able to apprehend him, and it like turns out that Nora just made this, he basically made this baddie hallucinate.
Yeah, so exactly. Which go. Like, not a bad plan. Why would you waste 100 men if you've already got someone that can just end it this, you know? That's
right.
It's your fragile masculinity right there, bro.
Pretty much. Well, and then I love that the chief is like, you should go do something useful with your powers instead of this and being a mercenary or whatever, a bounty hunter. You know, you should like be on television or something. And I was like, that sounds like the exact opposite advice that she should like. No, yeah. She's doing what she should be doing, helping people and things like that. I don't know. I just thought it was really funny. And then, yeah, to, like, thank her, the police chief gives her a ticket for 10 grand, and she just, like, lights it on fire.
Okay, motherfucker, this girl just burned up a 10K check. That is $28,000 in 2024.
Makes me think of Dewey in the first episode of The Boys, or, the like, in the first season of The Boys, when he rips up the, like, settlement check from Vought for them, like, killing his girlfriend.
Yeah. Take the money when you can get the dang money.
100%.
I knew in this moment I would hate Nora forever.
Yeah, so like she goes to leave and then he says he must use her power or something like that. And you're like, okay, this is weird. But all of a sudden we're on a spaceship and the chief is trying to remember how to issue a tourist visa for the planet Dazzle, which is the best planet name ever. And I think we need to rename some things.
Such a good name for a boring mining town.
100%. Like, the name is incredible. The town does not fit the name of it. Like, the planet doesn't fit it at all.
Not enough. There's no razzle-dazzle.
No razzle-dazzle. We cut to a montage of her, like, surfing on some sort of space board.
No, it's a motorcycle that has handles and, like, seats and all this. And she's just being extra for no reason.
100%. I was like, all right, get it, girl, I guess. And she, like, ends up in this dazzling town
full of the grossest looking men.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of like burly, gross men. And there's like one woman when she's getting like passed around in the bar, which is ill. So she goes to the barkeep and orders milk. And they're like, oh, you shouldn't be here. You're a girl. Blah, blah, blah. This Jabba the Hutt looking motherfucker stands up and like tosses the girl that he has.
Like literally just like, yeet.
Yeet. And is like, well, I want you. You're mine now. And apparently his name is Tochino. He is the brother of the guy who she's here to, you know, collect bounty on.
Yes.
And
he's just a baby pervert.
Pretty much. He says the really cringy line of he doesn't like women who resist.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he like tosses a log at her and she stops it midair and throws it back at him and he bursts through the wall. Badass.
Also, she teleports in this scene.
Yep.
Because she's not just a psychic, she could teleport. So, okay.
Yeah, well, she like freezes. It's not even that she teleports, really. It's like she freezes everybody in the bar and then moves.
Oh, no. She does both.
Oh, does she?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I only caught the one. Maybe I just thought that everybody froze and she walked around, but it was just a really terrible animation.
I mean, probably. When you're doing one frame every like 20 frames, it's.
Yeah, man. Well, and it was funny because I made the note and I was like, wow, the frame rate has gotten better on this planet. I wonder if there's like a different gravity or something and it's just a stylistic choice. No, it's not. But anyway, so she's like outside trying to like figure out where to go and stuff like that. And this little guy comes up to her and starts like chatting her up. She's like, yeah, I'm after him because he's got a $1 million bounty on his head and I want that. He's like giving her a bunch of background info about all this. And then he goes to leave and she tells her like, I'll pay you $5,000 if you tell me where to find. Oh, gosh, I'm ready for me to slaughter a name.
Do it.
Fuchiro.
Fuchiro.
That's it. Fuchiro. It's funny because he's like, I'm not telling you this to get money. I'm telling you this to be nice. And is like offended.
It's because he wants action.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. Short King wants action. But yeah, apparently the Plaza Dazzle is like out of the jurisdiction of Earth, so it's become a haven for criminals and bandits. So it's a real great place. And then, yeah, he says that like Tochino and Fuchiro showed up and everything has just been like extra bad. That sucks.
He's also a psychic.
Oh, yeah. He also has powers. And then we learn that Max, he's been trying to save up money to move to the city, become a dancer, but there's no hope.
Aw, poor little guy.
I know. But Nora hears this and picks up some metal rods on the ground and starts hitting a metal pipe thing.
Okay.
I don't get it.
So she's like, you got to come with me. And he's like, I can't. Everything's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And then she does the most offbeat drumming possible. And then, of course, they drown it out with like an actual background song eventually. But he's not hearing that.
Nope.
He's hearing like... absolute garbage drumming on a metal
absolutely.
Pipe.
Yep.
Metal on metal drumming. He just fucking goes for it.
Oh, and they have like this incredible, like this whole dance sequence of them dancing perfect. Like he's supposed to be this incredible dancer and yet she's like keeping up with him and they're in perfect like synchronicity.
Well, think about it though. She's a psychic. She's just reading his next moves.
That is fair. That is fair.
Because I thought the same thing.
That makes sense.
But he's breakdancing. Like, he's full on going hard. And then the middle of this dance scene, it goes back to 2 frames per second for like 10 seconds and then back to normal.
Yep, 100%. You're just like, all right, this happened. Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's just, oh my gosh. It's a treat for your eyes for sure. Ugh.
Yeah, if that treat is like rat poison dipped in like sprinkles.
Oh, I was going to say, like, a Big Turk.
Fuck you. I love Big Turks.
Oh, okay. Well, sorry.
I ate a Big Turk yesterday. Thank you very much.
Wow. Good for you.
All right. I don't like the condescending snack talk here. All right. Move the fuck along.
I'm going to snack shame you. Hey, you deserve it.
This show's not that bad, okay? We're getting worse as we go.
No, this one. Oh, man. Anyway, so now they're both on her, like, surfboard, motorbike, space thing. And they're looking for Tochino's hideout. And, like, Nora heads towards the hideout. But then is, like, suddenly surrounded by flames. It's just like, oh, no, what's going to happen? And Fajera appears. And she tells him he's under arrest. But then he goes invisible and, like, just, like, floats a boulder right at her. And you're like, shit. And then she just breaks it apart, no problem. And then he says that he underestimated her and then calls her a bitch and transforms into a giant dinosaur trying to squash her. So that's a choice.
So much that happens in this scene, and it's still the most anticlimactic, like, battle I've seen in a long time.
He, like, tries to be a dinosaur and it doesn't work, and then he tries to, like, make her imagine that she's, like, plummeting to the ground, and then he turns into a flood and stuff like that. Like, it's all so, so strange.
Like the Hello Kitty episode you watched has more drama than this did.
Yep. Oh, man. But yeah, at this point, once there's like a flood, Max is like, Arma's coming and help her, is immediately knocked to the ground by Tochino. Yeah, it doesn't look. I mean, like, he's massive and he's going up against this halfling. Like, what?
Yeah.
He's like, I'm fucked. But we go back to like Nora and Futuro, and he's standing over her looking like he's about to just like fuck her up and wing. And then she winks, causing his heart to stop.
Okay. He tells her that he's now paralyzed all of her limbs and he's going to stop her heart. And she pulls an Uno reverse card out of nowhere and is like, you didn't paralyze my eyes, motherfucker. Because I guess her powers are controlled by a fucking wink.
I guess.
And proceeds to give him a heart attack.
Yep. And then it's just like, he's done. And Max comes over and reveals that he defeated Tochino by just getting him stuck in between two rocks.
I mean, you know what? Bigger they are, the harder they get stuck, I guess.
Yep. I mean, I was like, that is a smart way of winning that battle. But like, holy moly. So we have to end this all with a raucous audience cheering as Nora runs out with a microphone and starts singing. But it's a man's voice that comes out.
What the fuck is this show?
It's have like no idea.
Stupid beginning, weird middle, dance scene. And then rock concert for a show about a psychic that's a bounty hunter.
Yep.
Now,
it's wild.
Like you said, with more budget, this could have been pretty cool. A really 80s, like, cool, like, dance thing with, like, all that. But no.
Nope. It wanted to be Macross, but no.
And then a random
cyborg joins them on stage for their, like, dance sequence.
Yeah, I don't know. You got lucky with this one.
I did. Oh, man.
I watched some of the other series, and while they technically had better animation, it was still worse in other ways. Like, Panzer Dragoon literally fuses terrible 3D with their stuff in a really bad way. So that's okay. So what are your thoughts on this? What would you give this in an honest rating out of 10?
Okay. I was like, an honest rating. I don't know. This is like a 4.
Really?
Yeah. Like,
wow.
I didn't.
2.98.
I'm generous, I guess. I don't know. I was just like, I didn't loathe watching it.
Yeah, you weren't, but you had that vision in your mind of like,
of the potential of it.
Yeah, like I showed you that one clip where someone reanimated that first scene.
Yeah.
And it was
like
smoother
really
and cleaner.
It was really cool, yeah.
That's fair. All right, okay, a 4. Now, as part of your assignment, I need you to give me, as if you are a reviewer making a Twitter post here, a 10 out of 10 review for this show.
Oh my gosh. I feel like I should do this like Stefan from SNL and be like, this movie has everything. It has a girl with great hair, beautiful eyelashes, a stunning outfit, and psychic powers. I'm not going to keep doing that. No, but it's really cool. It doesn't weigh itself down with like, you know, unnecessary things like, you know, like a 24 frame per second animation rate or anything like that. It just sticks to like good music, some fun dance, great community, fighting baddies, kicking ass and taking name, all on the best planet ever, Planet Dazzle. There.
10 out of 10 from Lindsay, everybody. Will I be using these clips out of context on Twitter?
You
absolutely
fucking suck.
Not. Of course not. Because I want to end on a softer note for your own sake, and I'm sure after the assault on our people, we'll do Hello Kitty last, which means we're going to talk Kennel Tokorozawa.
Fuck.
Our dog love show that you watched. that I'm pretty sure nearly broke your soul.
I hate everyone. People shouldn't do art.
I'm so excited for this.
This is one of those things where I'm like, maybe we shouldn't have free speech. Maybe there should be censorship in art. Maybe we don't need.
I mean, look, does it have any redeeming qualities? No.
No.
Will you have to make some up at the end of this? Absolutely. But no, it does not. And I didn't realize it was as bad as it was until I also went and watched it. But I got to watch it with the, like, in the mind of like, haha, I'm making you watch this. So it wasn't as bad for me. I can't wait to hear your breakdown process right now.
This was great to watch after binging Quiet on Set this week.
Oof.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's just preface this all with, like, everybody, just if, like, trigger warnings, there's really uncomfortable, like, people who are in positions of power over children. And there's, like, just a lot of creepy, leering, unconsensual touching. So
that's like half of modern anime.
Yeah. Well, then fine. But do take care while we're describing this awful, stupid movie.
I don't laugh with joy. I laugh with sadness.
Oh, my gosh. I laugh with uncomfort. Discomfort? Yes. All right. So we open with establishing shots over Tokyo. And we're ending up at Kennel Tokorozawa. I don't know if I said that right. I don't give a shit. We see a German Shepherd going up a flight of stairs, looking back at the camera, telling us that his name is Rin Tin Tin, which I think that's a great dog name, until he says, but in Japanese, it sounds like penis. So yep. We're off to a great start, guys. We already got a dick joke.
I figured I'd let you discover that one on your own.
Oh, gosh. So yeah, he ends up going into his owner's room, Chikaku, and while she's sleeping, he explains that he's head over heels for her, but in a platonic way, but then says, who is he kidding when he says platonic? And then she rolls over from under the covers and he imagines her completely nude, telling him to come to her. And then he perves at her panties and she wakes up and chases him out of the room. Good lord.
At least it's not a show where she's like returning that love.
Yeah.
Because then we would be a very different podcast.
Yeah, we would get banned.
And we ain't about that life, folks.
No. But you know, what should come after this? But a shower scene, because of course it fucking does. And Rin Tin Tin is outside of the shower panting heavily, saying that when they're married, he'll scrub her back every day.
Don't forget about the scene of him scrubbing her back.
Yep. That also happens. And then they're at breakfast and the mom says that Chikaku and Rin Tin Tin make a cute couple. Gross. You're a terrible mom. Gonna call child services on you. Anyways, so she's heading to school. He's following her. And he watches her, like, stretch when she's at gym class and just fully sticks his nose right in her brown starfish. It's happens.
Also, I thought the dog was gonna have like a cool, like deep, suave voice.
No.
It's not.
It's just a pervy dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of her classmates says that, oh, Rin Tin Tin is like really fond of you. Maybe you should give him a chance. No!
What the Oh my
it's
god.
It's a fucking dog! No!
Why are all of her friends saying and her parents being like, hey, you should fuck date this dog. Fucking dog.
What is going on? Stop! Ugh! And then she tells Rin Tin Tin, like, oh, don't give up. You know, like, keep going. Why? Why? I hate it. I hate it so much. So then the teacher comes over to Chika during lunch and asks her if she's a dog lover. And she says that her parents own a pet store, so he's kind of like a human to her. And then the teacher tells her to think of her future because you can't legally marry a dog.
But then the teacher runs away sad because she doesn't have someone that loves her like the dog loves Chika.
Right? Like, what is going on? Why? No. Women, be more confident in being single. You don't need a man.
You don't need no dog.
You don't need a dog. Oh my gosh. So Chika gets mad at her friends for spreading rumors. And she like runs off and tells Rin Tin Tin to stop following her. And she's like, on the roof, like, trying to calm herself down, trying to ground herself, and then two fucking guys come over and ask her if she prefers dogs to humans when humans are far better. And then they tell her, or he tells her, he'll show her how good a man is in bed and that she'll love it. Great. So they basically just try to assault this poor girl when she's already having a terrible day. And so she calls for Rintintin to come save her, and he like chases them away, and like we get a fantastic dog bark from this voice actor.
Fun fact with the voice actor, it's his only credit.
He should be in jail.
He is a painter and stand-up comedian, still active to this day.
Wow. Ugh. But anyways, so she thanks Rintintin and says she'll repay him later, and then he starts humping her.
Yeah.
So she kicks him, which is fair, because he fucking deserves that. This fucking show. And like later she's telling her friends that she wants to become a dog groomer, but it looks hard. So her friends say that like, we'll go to your back to your place and practice because you work with like a dog kennel, so you have lots of opportunities. And they like have all those grooming supplies out, and they wonder where Rintintin is. And he's probably hiding because he saw the grooming supplies. So her friend has like this really good idea of how to get him in the room, and fucking just bends her over and lifts her fucking skirt up.
Yeah.
And he comes running in and starts humping her. Like, this dog needs to be put down.
Her friends like, need to be put down.
Everybody needs to be put down. This, oh my gosh. Everybody should be ashamed. Ugh. So they like decide to give Rintintin like a poodle haircut. Goes terribly. Like, not good at all. Even the mom laughs at Rintintin when she sees it. And so her one friend is like, well, I guess we just have to keep going, and just like wildly shaves him. They're like, yeah, now he's turned into a punk dog.
They gave him tattoos and piercings.
Yeah. He got a safety pin through his ear. Like, it's on point. Oh my gosh. It's So the next day they're at McDonald's, like obviously McDonald's. Chica's telling her friend that she's the reason Rintintin has lost faith in his manhood, which I was like, what a great friend. I'm really glad that you are shaming your friend for emasculating a dog. So what's her friend's solution? Gives her a gift certificate for a hotel.
A romantic getaway.
Tells her to take Rintintin there so they can fucking restore his manhood. What's happening at the same time? Oh, Rintintin's on a bridge over top of traffic, looking depressed and saying he wants to die.
It would suck to be an animal with an internal human monologue, though, because you can't actually speak it to people.
Yep.
But unfortunately, his internal human monologue is
a pervert.
Just like a lecherous old man.
I hate it. I hate it so much. But yeah, so Chica and her friends see this and they run over to try and save him, but end up accidentally pushing him over the ledge instead. And so now her friends are like, well, now you really need to take him to the hotel after this, because you owe him.
You almost killed him.
Yeah. So they go to this hotel and they're in the dining room, and she says she wants to die. And the waiter hears this and tells the other staff. They're like, this is not serious. You should probably not let her out of your sight. So she's just on suicide watch now at this hotel room.
Yeah.
And when she's in her room unpacking, Rintintin comes in with a sea cucumber and says it's her friend. And she's like, no, gross, throw it away. And so he's like, goes down to the ocean to get rid of it. And she finds a suicide note from the dog.
Yep. That's what it's alluding to.
And so she runs after him as he dives off a cliff into the ocean. And the waiter chases after her because he's like, oh, shit. Like, I don't want this girl jumping off into the ocean. And he's like telling her how nice the ocean is and how your problems seem to melt away. And she mistakes his suicide prevention for flirting with her.
And she is into it. She's like, finally a human male.
I've been waiting 17 years. Ugh.
For her first kiss?
I think it's just for like a boyfriend or something. Oh. So yeah. So then Rintintin, we cut to him moping along the shore. And he comes across an octopus. And what happens?
Look, he doesn't fuck it.
No, he just gets sucked off by an octopus.
He didn't request this, though. That one I will give him. He peed on it and it jumped on him.
Oh, my gosh. And then, yeah, so then he's like,
better.
No. And he exclaims that he has now found the will to live again.
Sometimes you just need a little.
He's just got his like little Rin Tin Tin all ready up and going.
I was gonna say, did you expect his little dog rocket to be a literal replication of a mini him?
When the first time I saw it, I was like, what? And then I was like, oh.
Because they couldn't just put like a human or a National Geographic level, you know, image there. So it's just a mini him.
I know, which I'm like, fine.
It's a Min Tin Tin.
Fuck off. So now with the will to live again, he catches up with Chica and the waiter. And she asks why he has an octopus on his head. But then the octopus like sprays her with ink. So she has to go wash off all this ink. And she goes to kiss the waiter. And Rin Tin Tin intervenes with some sort of like fucking seal on his head. She kisses the seal instead. I don't know.
And he does like, what is this? It's my friend. Which honestly, I quite liked that gag of everything in this entire thing. Him just making friends with random sea animals and being like, he's my friend.
My friend.
I thought was fun.
Yeah, fine. Whatever.
That's the only good thing I can say about this.
Well, good for you. But yeah, the waiter tells her to meet him there later that night, and he'll show her his turtle, which she thinks is an innuendo, which was hilarious. So she shows up in this like really cute dress waiting for him on the shoreline. In the dark. And conveniently, the moon has been covered by a bunch of clouds, so you can't see anything. And then everything is dark, and she feels her dress getting untied. And she tells him, not so fast, not there. And then they drop out of frame. And so you're like, please, for the love of God, let this be the waiter. Nope. The waiter is then leading a group of other people to the shore because they're going to watch the turtle give birth, or not birth, but like lay a bunch of eggs, because then it's going to restore their, you know, faith in how precious life is. And then he turns on the flashlight and we get a full fucking view of Rin Tin Tin just humping the shit out of Chica with like her dress just not where it was, and her trying to like push him off while a turtle is laying eggs right next to them.
This is probably the worst scene in the whole show because it was truly out of pocket.
It was like, oh my gosh.
Okay. The sheer embarrassment of how people walk in on that is immense. But also, because she's like, oh, what's that? Not there. Ooh. Like, what? But then, how do you not notice, like, a fucking dog face?
Yeah.
I don't care how dark it is. If someone puts a dog up on my leg, I will know it's a fucking dog.
You'll smell it.
Like, good Lord.
Oh, my gosh. Like, I just hate it.
Also, why is the music sounds like a cheap porno at all times?
Because it is a cheap porno. Like, I don't understand how you don't understand that. Oh my gosh. But yeah, that's the end of the first mini episode of this. Yeah, guys, there's not just one episode of this. There's two. So we get to start with another one. We're at the Deep Mountain Temple on a field trip or some sort of sleepaway
summer camp. Yeah.
Oh, it's summer camp. And some old teacher creep is there. They're like going into the temple. And Chica trips going up the stairs into the temple, which Rin Tin Tin fully takes the opportunity to hump her again. But she like falls into the teacher, and he's like, oh, what is this? Great. And then we're in class, and Chica walks up to the teacher to ask a question, and she notices her like blushing while she's talking to him. But what he doesn't fucking see is Rin Tin Tin eating her ass. And so,
not actually doing that. He's just got his face in it. We should clarify for people watching.
He's eating her ass. And so the teacher's like, oh, she must have a crush on me. And he's talking to a coworker about it later. And we get a flash of him just imagining Chica in her underwear, which, you know, fully appropriate and not creepy and predatory at all.
No, and the other teacher's like, ooh, what are you going to do about it?
Right? Like,
fucking weirdo.
I hate it so much. So he sits next to her at lunch, and her classmates notice this, and he's giving her mermeat and was like, eat, blah, blah, blah. And Rin Tin Tin sees this up and like spits a skewer at the teacher. The teacher in his mind says like, no mutt will come between me and Chica. Like, I hate it. I hate it. And there's one of the classmates says, like, what a stupid love triangle. And it is the first thing that anyone in this fucking series has said that I 100% agree with. Fuck this.
I've never seen you so mad at something we've watched before.
I hate this. It's so terrible.
Oh, it's fucking trash. It's absolute human garbage. Whoever made this is just...
We shouldn't have free speech. And there should be censorship.
30 years from now, the world has changed. Lindsay has taken over president of everything.
Yeah.
When questioned in an interview what sparked her rise to tyranny, all she said was the kennel.
People have tried understanding the metaphor, and they've... Scholars have written articles on what this could potentially mean. And then Lindsay just says, it's a fucking show about a dog who loves a human, and it's stupid.
So what happens next?
So later that night, because of course it has to happen at night, there's going to be a challenge of courage where a girl and a boy will form a pair and they have to find a sign and write a symbol on it. So who gets paired with Chica but the fucking English teacher? So we're walking in the dark. And Chica says she gets frightened easily. So the teacher's like, oh, really? Let me tell you a horror story.
Right?
Fuck off. As he's doing this, a black cat jumps out and like scares them all. And then the English teacher thinks like, oh, I need to get rid of Rin Tin Tin. So he throws a bone and is like, yeah, go get it. Go get it, boy. And, you know, she's like, now I have her alone. But then Rin Tin Tin comes back because that's what a fucking dog does.
Yeah, they grab the bone.
And like, so while this is happening, the English teacher finds the sign that they're supposed to find for this test of courage. And is like, fuck, it's over. Not if I throw it away. So he throws the sign away so that they can keep looking. But while this is happening, Chica gets bit on the ass by a viper. Because of course she does. Rin Tin Tin is told to like go get help, but he refuses to leave Chica alone with the teacher. Which, smart. Like, smart. But also, you know it's not for the right reason. It's because he doesn't want to let the teacher, like, have what he wants.
It is pervert versus pervert, a WWE pay-per-view event.
Oh my gosh. Both of them should be castrated. Without anesthetic.
Well, this man is literally fighting a dog over, like...
Yeah.
who gets to be with...
Her classmates are watching from the bushes. Mm-hmm. And one of them asks if they should do something, and there says no because they want to see this.
Oh.
And she like tries to crawl away, and he like they both drag her back by the ankles, and they're like, no, you shouldn't exert yourself because it might push the like poison through your system more. And then the teacher's like, I think we need to suck out this poison before we go get help. And Rin Tin Tin is like, fuck yeah, we need to do that. And so they rock, paper, scissors to see who's gonna do it. And Rin Tin Tin wins because their teacher's like, well, he has paws, so obviously all he can do is like paper.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna do scissors, and Rin Tin Tin figures out how to do a rock.
Which is pretty good.
Yep. Oh my gosh. And like she's like trying to get away. It's so bad. But yeah, Rin Tin Tin wins. So she pulls her shorts down for him, and he just straight up licks her ass.
He's eating her ass. Before he wasn't. Now he is. Which is fucking the worst.
And she,
I know it sounds like I'm laughing, but it was so like, I sat there and I was like, oh, this is fucking stupid. What the fuck did I make her watch?
Yeah. So I said, I'm throwing those dice out. I'm like, these ones, they're tainted.
Rolled the one. Tainted? Anyways.
I hate you. Oh my gosh. Anyways, the teacher also gets bitten by the snake. And then he runs away because he's like, get help. And then Rin Tin Tin is also gets bitten, and at this point the classmates are like, okay, we need to go help. And then Rin Tin Tin is like, ha, I've won. And then as he's like exclaiming that he's won, he gets bit on his red rocket, and that is how this episode ends.
We end with a snake bite on his little mini Tin Tin,
his Min Tin Tin, as you said.
Hell yeah. Honestly, that would suck.
Honestly, he fucking deserves it.
I fully agree. This series, and I say series, it's one episode.
Mm-hmm.
This show.
Jail. Straight
is
to jail.
Absolute trash.
Yeah. Don't watch it.
We watched this so you don't have to.
Yeah.
It is somehow ranked higher than Twinkle Nora Rock Me.
What? No.
Twinkle Nora Rock Me was like a 2.98 or whatever. This is a 3.65.
Are you kidding me? There's some perverts out there. We need to hunt them down.
One person, and maybe they're just memeing. I don't know. But they gave this thing story 10 out of 10. Disgusting, they called it, but 10 out of 10. With an art as a 6 out of 10.
Straight to jail. We need to find them. We need to hunt them down. Straight to jail.
straight to fucking jail. Even the cover of this, like the VHS cover, is like this dog with his tongue out, like staring as like she sits with her bare ass on a counter.
I hate it.
What absolute fucking garbage this is.
It's,
is there even,
oh my God.
Who wrote it? Hold on.
I don't know, but it's like a zero. I don't think I've ever done that before, but it's a zero.
Oh,
maybe
no.
Oh no.
It's based off a manga with 81 chapters.
How?
What the fuck?
No.
That's insane.
Wow.
Well,
I hate art.
Watch out for Dictator Lindsay in the future.
Yeah.
So what would you rate it out of 10?
Zero.
Zero. Straight zero.
Fuck this one.
Awesome. Now,
I never want to see it again.
And you never will have to. Don't worry.
Thank goodness.
Now, here's the fun part.
For you.
I need you.
I hate you.
To give me your 10 out of 10 Kennel Tokorozawa review, please.
Oh, God. This fucking show, OVA.
No. You got to sound like you're excited about it.
You're the worst.
The look on your face is hilarious right now.
I'm just like, okay. We got to fucking do this. All right, Lindsay, we got this. This is, are you looking for like a really funny show about a dog and his zany adventures as he is like in love with his owner? Then this is for you. It has great animation, fantastic story, perfect examples of consent. I think it's absolutely incredible. So funny, the situations. Like, the dog is just, he's hilarious. His penis is hilarious. And honestly, I think Chica's a lucky girl.
Oh,
I hate you.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Wow. Did you enjoy that?
Oh, I just, my mind's ringing with TikToks.
Jeez, how dare you? How very dare you?
In fucking credible. Thank you for that. I know that I watched your face that whole time. And folks, we're not a video podcast, but if we were, you would have seen all hope and joy seep out of the pores of Lindsay in front of you.
Oh, that was incredible.
Thank you so much for that.
I've had a rough March, and this is just the cherry on top for finishing this month off.
Look, it could have been worse. It could have been a whole bunch of stuff like this show, okay?
I will never complain about Agent Ika ever again.
Look,
like
I gave you the first series.
Agent Ika is like the godfather compared to this.
Look, I gave you Dragon Half before this, okay? So you got Dragon Half, and then we got Kimikura Orange Road. So you had a nice little break to lead up to this absolute shitstorm of awful.
Man, I'm just thinking about what I'm giving you next week, and I'm like, damn it, I was too nice.
I am a little worried about that, but. Let's end on a fun, happy, joyous note.
Yeah.
Let's start the end with a not happy thought, which is the fact that when the creator of Hello Kitty joined with Sanrio in 1974, she created Hello Kitty and then left 2 years later. So she actually didn't make a lot of money from the creation of this character because it's not like with Sailor Moon or, you know, where the creator's in charge of the property. She was just hired on at Sanrio and making characters. So she made next to nothing, just her regular salary, pretty much. Obviously, she gets like cons and all that kind of jazz, but she did not get a good deal on any of that. So sorry about that, creator of Hello Kitty.
Well, my brother-in-law was telling me this today. Hello Kitty is like the third highest grossing international or intellectual property. Like, the first is Winnie the Pooh, and then it's Pokemon, and then it's Hello Kitty. So Sanrio's making big.
Oh yeah, well, it was originally made for children, and then they realized that adults have money to buy stuff.
Yeah.
And it became a powerhouse. The TV is always meant for kids, but most of the merchandise is like adult sized.
Yeah, I remember being in university and I had a friend who like loved Hello Kitty and dressed like did the full Alita and all that fun stuff.
Well, let's talk Hello Kitty and Friends from 19. I believe this episode was 1994. Hello Kitty and the Dream Thief.
Honestly, this show is still better than the song Hello Kitty by Avril Lavigne. So
Rin Tin Tin is almost better than that song. Not actually, but close.
Oh man.
This is a bit of a dark premise for a kids episode though.
Yeah, it really was. Holy moly. And it's funny because when I was watching it, I was like, I remember watching this show as a kid.
Yeah, I watched a few different episodes just because I was curious. And some of them get a little dark. That being said, though, the intro song doesn't have to go so damn hard.
Oh my gosh. It was just like, yeah, classic Happy Kids theme song. Hell yeah.
Like, catchy as fuck.
Oh yeah. It was adorable. Oh my gosh. Like, you'll have a cavity because it's so sweet.
Hell yeah.
all right. So let's get into this episode. It's called The Dream Thief. And we start with Mimi getting ready to paint. She exclaims that she's going to do so well. She's so excited. She starts painting swans, but then the paint starts like blowing off the canvas. And there's a sudden black hole that opens up and starts sucking everything into it. And she wakes up screaming. And Kitty, her, you know, little sister, tells her to cheer up.
Well, she's like, was that you screaming? The literal person who's sleeping in the same bed beside me? Was that you?
The only other person in this room? Oh, it's so funny. And so they're at school the next day and Mimi is still depressed. Kitty tells her to cheer up because maybe the dream got blown away to make room for another good dream, which is so sweet. And then, you know, their friend Fifi comes in telling them that she's heard some hot tea, but isn't sure if she should spill it because gossiping is bad. But then she gives in to peer pressure and says apparently someone is sneaking around stealing people's dreams. How gosh darn dare they?
Fifi is such a posh little shit.
Oh, yeah. Well, she wants to be a police officer. What a nerd. But yeah, people call her a liar and tell her that's ridiculous. And that the dream thief only goes into little kids' dreams that are happy and gobble them up. And Kitty and Mimi talk about the dream thief on their way home and they come up with a plan. So they go down to like the side of the river and Kitty's going to have a good dream. And Mimi can like keep an eye out for the dream thief to come. And I love it because Kitty's like, I'm dreaming about being a concert pianist and like is just talking out loud. She's like, why can't I fall asleep?
It's like scenes of all the construction going on around her.
I was like, I don't know, girl. It's baffling. So they ask their dad when they get home about it and he has a book about it. They turn to a page about Tapirus Indicus? The nightmare eater. But he only eats bad dreams. And they're like, well, that doesn't make sense because I was having good dreams. So why would he? I don't know. So they go to bed that night. And the narrator, who must be like Emma Thompson, tells us that it's Kitty's turn to dream. Apparently, they can only dream one, like only one of them can dream at a time. Like, I don't know if they share a brain or what, but that's the logic. And so she's having this dream that she's a famous concert pianist. And she starts playing, and then the black hole forms again and sucks everything into it. But this time, she sees the dream thief. Kitty wakes up screaming, but they think the dream thief is, like, still in their room. So they're just, like, rummaging around, trying to find everything. And then they see it's, like, sleeping on the pillow. They, like, sneak over to it, and it says, huh, only five more dreams to go. And so Mimi turns on the light, and it flies into the fireplace. And they tell it to come out, because they know that that little fucker was the one that stole their dreams. And it tells them that his name is actually Puffin. And they say, like, hey, what the fuck? You're only supposed to eat bad dreams. And he's like, well, I have to eat 100 in order to become an adult. So I'm cheating by eating good dreams. And they're like, what?
Well, he's like, I'm not stealing them. I'm just eating them.
So you can never
stealing
have them
back. Is still eating, you little shit.
Yeah, geez, you asshole.
And he also makes that note where he's like, once you start eating good dreams, you can't go back to bad dreams.
Yeah, they taste so good.
Puffin is addicted to that. To that booger dream sugar.
Oh, no. That's one way to put it in ruined childhoods. Oh, man. Well, and what's funny is they're like, so Puffin escapes and they're like, we have to warn everybody. So they're calling all their friends in the middle of the night. And their one friend, Thomas, is like, stop prank calling me. I need to go back to sleep.
I am 5 years old.
And so please. Puffin, he goes back to sleep and he's like dreaming about being a superhero. And Puffin steals his dream. And so the next day at school, all of their friends are depressed because the dream thief got to them. And so they all devise a plan to catch Puffin. So like Kitty is reading a book about dinosaurs in class. And so I guess she like, she plans to dream about a dinosaur. And so when Puffin comes to steal it, they all like gang up on Puffin and they're like, give us our dreams back, motherfucker.
Let the dinosaur eat it.
But the final dream was number 100. So Puffin's like, I don't need to listen to you because I'm a grown up. And Puffin tells them that he's just going to keep eating all their good dreams so that they only have bad dreams. But then he starts feeling bad, like complains of a tummy ache and starts collapsing.
Oh. Also, hold on a second here. Okay. They come up with this whole plan. We get the whole scene of them making this whole plan. And then the narrator goes, so the plan worked. And then it just cuts to them having caught him when he's, yep. And that's when he's like doing this whole, I'm an adult now thing. What's the fucking point of all this other stuff? This whole build up to this epic plan when they get in the dream with the dinos and then we don't see it. We see none of it. Fucking nothing.
We don't need to. It's too scary for children, I guess.
But getting Thanos in all of your dreams as you watch them, their skin be like melted away is not?
Oh yeah, that's fine. Kids can see that.
All right. Cool. Fuck it. All right. So here we are. Puffin's got a tummy ache.
Yeah. And so Mama Dream shows up and she's like, excuse me. You little shit. No, you have it because they're so rich and tasty. So you have a stomach ache. Now give him back the dreams. And she like spanks him and he's just like spitting out all these good dreams.
Also, when he falls ill, the kids are like, we got to take him to the school nurse and da 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 da. Hold on a second here.
No.
He just stole your hopes and dreams. And because he's got a tummy ache, now he's your fucking friend.
Right.
If someone steals all my hopes and dreams for me, and then as they're walking away, falls and breaks their leg, I'm just going to keep walking.
Hell yeah.
They made their choice.
Those are called consequences.
Exactly. But I guess it is a children's show, so...
Fine.
You know.
And we have to teach forgiveness and all that crap.
And Mama's making sense. You know, it's a good moral to not cheat.
Mm-hmm.
And to not get addicted to substances when you're 8 years old.
Yeah, it's great to not do that. So they like leave and she's like, well, I'll give you some of that stomach tonic that you don't like when we get back because, you know, you have such a tummy ache. And Puffin's like, oh, no, I feel better now. It's fine. And she's like, no.
You're drinking the Buckleys.
Yep, exactly. And so it's like, how did they get them back? And so Thomas just goes over and like pokes this orb and then all their dreams return to them, but not how they want because they all end up being in each other's dreams. And it's just...
They're
ridiculous.
So mean to each other about
They're
it.
They're so mean to each other.
She's like, I was going to not. He's like, oh, you're going to paint my cake? And she's like, no, I wanted to paint the river. And he's like, well, it's not going to be a good painting anyways.
Yeah. It's just like, oh, my gosh.
And then fucking Fifi wants to be a fucking cop. Fifi comes out here with her abusive power and speeds her car around and bursts through the cake and through a wall. And like typical untrained cops, man. Typical untrained cops.
Man, ACAP means Fifi as well.
ACAF, all cops are Fifi.
So yeah, that's the end of the episode. It was really cute, really sweet.
It ends with a nightmare for some reason.
Yep. Oh man.
So that wasn't too bad.
No.
Hello Kitty is not something, it was more there for like a possible palate cleanser. You got lucky with it.
We needed one.
Yeah, definitely. And so Hello Kitty, obviously, as we mentioned, is a huge franchise. My favorite Hello Kitty character is Bats Maru.
Which one's Bats Maru?
It sounds like he'd be a bat, but he's a penguin.
Wasn't there a frog?
Yeah, Kuropi the frog. Why do I know so much? I don't know.
I don't know why a 35-year-old man knows so much, but...
I have nerd brain. I can remember everything I've ever watched as a kid. But no, Bats Maru is like this like punky penguin. And I love him. He's supposed to... Bats Maru is like, he's got like spiky hair and he's always looking like angry. And Bats or Batsu is the term for X, which is the symbol for a wrong answer. Because he's like Mr. like, bleh. So I quite like that. In fact, his official bio says his likes are rolling his eyes at life, pulling faces at people and blowing raspberries.
Oh my gosh, it's me.
If you looked at what he looked like, you'd probably agree.
Well, now I'm going to look him up. What was it? Bats McGee? What?
Maru.
Oh, I do love him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the best. He's the fucking best.
He's great.
If you had to rate this show out of 10, with your honest opinion, what would you give
it? I don't know. I feel like, because I would not watch it again. But I'd maybe play it for like my nephews. or something. I don't know, like 5?
Not bad. Yeah, that's an average rating. Most people, there's been 178 people that have rated it for a total of 5.87. Specifically this episode, because each of these were launched as their own OVAs.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Not too bad. Almost a 6.
Mm-hmm.
Now, give me your 10 out of 10 excited Hello Kitty review.
Oh my gosh, guys. Are you ready for adorableness mixed with dreams and nightmares? Well, Hello Kitty, being the badass she is, she takes on the dream thief. And she does it with such finesse and flair. She does it with teamwork and friendship so that they can save the day so that everybody gets to have good dreams and not bad dreams, because that would be awful. So yeah, it's great. She works with her friends to come up with this really great plan to get their dreams back. And when the baddie gets sick from eating all the good dreams, they show a really good lesson in caring and compassion, because they also want to help him feel better. At the end of the day, their mom comes and helps to like help him learn that lesson that everything, you know, you should follow the rules and only eat the bad dreams. And they end the day with getting all their dreams back and having a happy ending.
Oh, that's amazing. Although I have one more request for you.
No, you've gotten too much from me.
I need you to give me a 0 out of 10 Hello Kitty review.
Wow, Hello Kitty. What can I say about it? It's a bunch of like dumb kids in their like sweet life just being like, our good dreams got stolen. Well, guess what? You don't pay taxes yet. You haven't weren't adults yet. You know what my dream is? Not having to have roommates. It's great. But, you know, we live in a late stage capitalist society, it'll never happen.
Stop you there before this devolves into like calls for revolution.
You know what we can 3D print people? Guillotines.
It makes me scared because you want a 3D printer now.
I do.
Oh. Well. So. Well, that was great. Thank you for sticking through these 3 terrible episodes. Both the people listening and you, Lindsay.
Thanks. Yeah. Because
I know that at least one of those was a major drain on your psyche.
Oh, Lord.
So thank you for taking your day off to watch some utter
garbage.
Duty.
Dumpster fire? Man.
Things like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we don't normally operate the podcast like this. Usually it's one series we pass back and forth, each introducing someone to something else. So the next episode will be back to our regular format, of course. But if you like this episode and want to hear more of our amazing voices, you can head on over to @Animates pretty much everywhere and give us a follow. Let us know what you think. Any feedback on old episodes? We'd love to hear about it. Follow us on Twitter. It's kind of where we're mostly active. And whatever you do, for the love of fuck and all that is holy,
Jesus,
do not watch Kennel Tokorozawa. For if you do,
save yourself.
You will lose all hope for humanity. With that being said, everybody, thank you for checking us out. Have a lovely, I guess Easter weekend's over, so we hope you had a lovely Easter weekend. And we'll see you next Tuesday when hopefully Lindsay does not give me something in retaliation.
You fucking wish.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.